Hey everyone, it's Troy here. And we are well aware that anything ever said or done at Safe Haven Church that helps anyone grow in their affections for Christ is by grace alone, and Christ receives all glory and honor for it. So thank you. Thanks for clicking online and joining us in the study of this portion of God's Word. And if this proves to be a valuable resource to your gospel discipleship, would you consider giving to the ongoing ministries of Safe Haven Church? It's very simple. You can do so online at www.safehaven.church/give. And lastly, as we often pray in our gatherings together, may you be more encouraged in Christ's sufficiency after you finish this sermon than you were before you listened to it or watched it. Well, welcome to Safe Haven. My name is Troy Nicholson. I'm one of the teaching pastors here, and it's an honor to have you with us for our next to last section of Ecclesiastes, which is crazy, church. This is it. We have this one, and then next week, the Right Reverend Johnny Eubanks will be wrapping up Ecclesiastes. If you know him, you love him. And if you know also how he teaches, there's a good chance the sermon's going to be about 5 minutes long. So be here. But anyways, be here for next week as we wrap up Ecclesiastes. And if you weren't here last week, we did announce we will be doing 1 and 2 Peter next. And so go ahead and get you a journal or dive into 1 and 2 Peter. We're going to journey through that and look at what it means to be chosen and set apart for the Lord in His grace. So we're going to do that. It's going to be a good time. But today, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, 11 through 11, 10. And we'll get us close to finally solidifying Ecclesiastes' spot on the ornament for the year 2025, the ornament, commemorative ornament that we give at the end of the year. So let's look at this. He's been saying to us how to be wise, how to live a wise life. And as you've remembered, if you've been with us, he's peered at all kind of things, and he said, let's look at this. Okay, that's fleeting. Let's look at this. That's fleeting. Relationships are fleeting. Money is fleeting. Time is fleeting. Energy is fleeting. Politics is fleeting. He's looked at all these things and said, all this is fleeting. And so today, he's going to say, so what do we do? Well, we just choose wisdom. Choose to be wise in the here and now, and that's going to flesh itself out as we go through this text. So be intentionally wise, and we're going to look at what does it mean to be a wise person, specifically in four movements, I guess you could say. There's going to be four movements through the text. I'll highlight each of those. They'll all be on the screen, but let's jump into the first one. He picks back up Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11, the word of God for the people of God. Again, I saw that under the sun, earth, everything under the sun. I saw that under the sun, the race is not to the swift. The fastest don't always win, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge. Check this out. But time and chance happen to them all. In other words, life is just not calculable. It's incalculable. You cannot calculate life. There is no formula to life. If you walk around hoping, then in life there's a formula. And if I stick to that formula, then everything will be right. You're going to be disappointed because life has no formulas, is what he says. He goes on to say in verse 12, for man does not know his time, like fish that are taken in an evil net and like birds that are caught in a snare. So the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them. So first, to be wise, the first thing, and it'll be on the screen, is the wise expect the unexpected. If you want to be a wise person, it begins with just expect life to be unexpected. In other words, life is chancy. It's like rolling dice. And you may hope for 7-11. You may hope for that. Very few got that reference. Bonus points if you did. Jared Franklin did. But it's a roll of the dice. When you roll the dice, you never know what number is going to pop up. And the wise person lives that way, lives knowing that I'm never going to know what's going to pop up on the dice. In ministry, been in it for a long time, 30 years now. It never ceases to fail. Someone will call, and there's a lot of calls in ministry, and you get all kind of, and it'll be this phrase right here. Troy, what I have to tell you is probably going to surprise you. There is nothing that you could tell me that is going to surprise me. And that's just how life is. And so you get phone calls of like the Chanceys. You get the phone call of the car wreck that was unexpected. You get the phone call of someone who pops up with cancer. You get the phone call of there's this addiction. Or you get the phone calls at Safe Haven of, hey, we're pregnant. It just kind of goes through this body. Nothing is shocking. And what he's saying, listen, his last parting shot is if you live that way, it actually frees you. Where you get bound in life and get angry in life is when you expect something, it has to be this way. And then when it's not that way, what happens? It rocks your world. But if you live life is just, it's incalculable. It's freeing. And so he leaves us with that parting shot. In other words, it's kind of like riding the Ocoee. If you've ever ridden the Ocoee Rapids, somebody blindfolded you and took you to the Ocoee, and you had no idea where you're going. It was silent. And then they put you on this boat, and for some reason you didn't know you were on a boat. And then they shipped you down the river, and you hit a rapid. That probably would rock your world. What are we doing? But if you know where you're going, if you look at the rapids and you see that you're going to hit some bumps, you realize it's going to toss you in a way you didn't expect. It frees you to giggle. It frees you to laugh along the way. And so this is what he says. And then he continues, verse 13. I've also seen this example of wisdom on earth, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, and he besieged it, building great siege works against it. But there was found in it a poor, wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city, yet no one remembered that poor man. But I say, check this, that wisdom is better than might. Wisdom is more important than your Planet Fitness membership. Wisdom is more important than your time at para. Wisdom is more important than your testosterone replacement therapy. Wisdom is more important. It's more important than all those things. It's better than might. Though the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard, the words of the wise heard in quiet are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Dead flies make the perfumer's ointment give off a stench, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. If you want to be wise, second, number two, the wise seek wisdom as their number one tool. If you want to be wise, you seek wisdom over all things. Most of us live life like woodworking. Woodworking being this, you've got something that you've got a craft, and we look at life and we go, okay, for this project, I need a saw, or this project, I need a hammer, or this project, I need a chisel, or this project, I need glue, or this project, I need whatever it is. And what he says is the wise live life going, what I need is wisdom. Wisdom above all things. Above the saw, above the hammer, proverbially. Above anything else, I need wisdom. That's what he says. In other words, am I pausing to think, or do I just knee-jerk react to life? Do I pause to think? That's the tool. Or this, am I slow to speak, or is everybody just getting a little piece of what I want to get off my chest? Are we slow to speak? Am I flexible and pliable? That's wisdom. That's thinking wisely. Or am I rigid? Am I set in stone in my ways? And am I prone to break when things don't go my way? Am I flexible? Am I giving guidance out of what's always been done? Papa did this, so I do this. Mama did this, so I did this. Or Have you truly thought out all options at all angles in all things? Do you just do what you do because what you do has always been done? Or do you look at whatever you're facing in life and look at it like a bee hovers around a flower, right? There's a lot of bees out right now hovering around flowers. Is that how you live life? Looking at your different options and going, okay, I want to think wisely no matter what Pawpaw said. God bless Pawpaw. No matter what Mama said, and God bless her banana pudding. But do I think wisely about all things is wisdom? Am I functioning out of what do I know, or am I asking God for guidance? In other words, is your prayer life more like this? Wake up in the morning, God generically guide me throughout the day. Or wisdom says this, hey God, we're walking all day. Because I need you all day. So moment by moment guidance. Guidance at 1 o'clock, guidance at 2 o'clock, guidance at 3 o'clock, guidance at 4 o'clock. Is it generic guidance or I gotta have you because you're the air that I breathe to help me make decisions. That's living wisely. Number three, he goes on. A wise man's heart, check it, inclines him to the right. But a fool's heart to the left. Even when the fool walks on the road, he lacks sense, and he says to everyone that he's a fool. If the anger of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your place, for calmness will lay great offenses to rest. There's an evil that I've seen under the sun, as it were an error proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set in many high places, and the rich sit in a low place. I've seen slaves on horses and princes walking on ground like slaves. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and a serpent will bite him who breaks through a wall. He who quarries stones is hurt by them, and he who splits logs is endangered by them. If the iron sword is blunt and one does not sharpen the edges, then he's got to use more strength. But wisdom helps one to succeed. If the serpent bites before it's charmed, there's no advantage to the charmer. The words of a wise man's mouth wins him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is evil madness. A fool multiplies his words, though no man knows what is to be, and who can tell him what will be after him? The toil of a fool wearies him, for he does not know the way to the city. Thirdly, the wise choose what is right over what is wanted. Do you choose what is right, or do you just always default to choose what you want? Sometimes choosing rightly is to reject what you want, right? Verse 4, you've got the freedom in life to choose anger, but don't be mad if your anger gets you fired, is what he's saying. In life, verse 8, you have the freedom to bust straight through a door. But don't be surprised if there's a bulldog on the other side that bites your leg. Verse 10, you've got the freedom to abuse knives. Every knife in our drawer is like a spoon. It's not even like a butter knife. It's worthless as a spoon. If any of y'all know how to sharpen knives, I need you, brother and sister, because ours are terrible. You can abuse the knife all you want to, he says, but if that's what you choose to abuse the knife, don't be shocked that it doesn't cut anything. You can choose to have the freedom to keep running your mouth, verse 14. But don't be mad if in running your mouth you actually build a case against yourself by the things you keep on saying. We feel like if I just keep talking, then they're going to be on my side. The problem is we keep talking and we keep saying stupid things and people look at us like a dog and go, what? What? It's crazy. Yeah. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 10:31. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up, is what he tells us. In other words, the wise, according to Solomon, will put their impulse wants in check. Do you put your impulse wants in check? Or do you just flippantly do what you want to do because you just do it. He says the wise puts them in check. Some examples. But I want to buy the boat. I want to buy the house. I want to buy the car. I want to buy the four-wheeler. I want to buy the ice cream. And I want to buy the shoes. I want. And what Solomon says is, okay, but what is thought out and what is wise for the moment now? Or this, I want to speak my mind to my spouse. I want to speak my mind to my boss. I want to speak my mind to my kids. I want to speak my mind to the store clerk. And by gosh, I want to speak my mind to the umpires. Versus, what is wise? What is thought out? What is right? I want to give into the drink. I want to give into the food. I want to give into the porn. I want to give into the media scrolling. I want to give into the shopping. After all, it is prime days. I want versus what is wise, what is thought out, what is right. Troy, I'm not obsessing or controlling. I just want things to be done the right way. Versus what's thought out. What's right? What's under control? And yes, one more. I want to be careful, but I do want to speak this over us in love. We can look at all those different things I just said and go, yeah, those are things I really need to consider. But a challenge I want to lay before us also is work and overtime. There's an epidemic in our culture of I have to work harder, get one more. But Troy, my impulse want, I just want one more hit of overtime, and that one more hit will finally satisfy because it will do whatever. That one hit won't work. It won't satisfy. Be careful. What is right for your family? What is good for your family? What is well thought out for your family? All these different things. Solomon says, choose what is right over what is wanted. And then the last one, verse 16. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your princes feast in the morning. Happy are you, O land. And if you have ears to hear, hear this line. When your king is the son of the nobility. Solomon speaking prophetically, I believe, 3,000 years before Christ even came. And your princes feast at the proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. Through sloth, the roof sinks in, and through indolence, the house leaks. Bread is made for laughter, and wine gladdens life, and money answers everything. Everybody's like, amen to that one. Even in your thoughts, do not curse the king, nor in your bedroom curse the rich. For a bird of the air will carry your voice, and some winged creature will tell the matter. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you'll find it after many days. Give a portion to seven or even eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth, and if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. Okay, Solomon, good. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Check this. As you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. That's been the key to all of Ecclesiastes. Do you trust that God's sovereign? Do you trust that he does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, or do you want to be in control? Verse 6, in the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Light is sweet, and it's pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let them remember that the days of darkness will be many, and all that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Hey, young people in this room, hear this verse. Rejoice, O young man, rejoice in your youth. Don't let it slip by. Shoulder surgeries are coming. ACLs are going to blow. Hernias, if you're like me, you're going to have three of them. It's coming. Swinging that bat starts hurting, doesn't it? Yeah. Rejoice and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart in the sight of your eyes, but know that all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation, anger from your heart and put away pain from your body. For youth and the dawn of life are vanity. And again, vanity does not mean sitting at a vanity, looking all beautiful, trying to look beautiful, and it's just not beautiful. That's not what he means. Every time he uses vanity, he means fleeting. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. It's like a mist. Poof, gone. Poof. All of life is quick. It's fleeting, he says. So remove that vexation from your heart. Fourth, the wise savor life's sweetness. Do you savor life as sweet? Or is it just all anger to you? Is there no joy to you? Or do you savor the moments? Life is sweet. Verse 19, there's a time for eating, drinking, laughing, earning money. He says there's a time for all these things. All of it in moderation. There's a time for all of it. Verse 20, there's a time for keeping your mouth closed and just smiling and moving on. Just don't talk. Smile and keep going. Let them be right and move on. Don't let it rob your joy that you disagree. Verse 2, there's a time to share with others and give away to serve fellow mankind. Do that. That makes life sweet. Help others. There's a time to work and to feel good about what you've accomplished. Verse 4. Verse 6, there's a time to sow your seed and trust God with the outcome. Verse 7, there's a time to get some sunshine on your skin. Did you catch that verse? The light is good for you, he says. It's good for the sun to shine on your face. We're going to go Thursday with some friends to hang out at the beach for a couple of days. And I'm going to soak it in because Solomon told me to. It's good to get a little sun on your skin. Verse 9. There's a time to celebrate birthdays. He said, rejoice in your days. And at your birthdays, remember that it'll come to an end one day. Every day's a gift. Every birthday's a gift. Verse 10, there's a time to repent and remove anger from your heart. Remove the vexation. Some of us in this room, you're robbed of joy in life just because you're angry with somebody or something. In the words of old Elsa, give it to me. Let it go. Let it go. Amen. Hallelujah. All of life can be very, very sweet. If you savor it and worship the Lord who's giving you the sweetness rather than worship life itself, it's okay to enjoy life. And the wise do, Solomon says. The wise intentionally contemplate life's sweetness. Is that you? Is that your family? Is that the aroma of your home? It can be. It can be. So here we go. That's it. The wise expects the unexpected. The wise seek wisdom above all things. The wise choose what is right over what is wanted. The wise savor life's sweetness. And I've tried to wrap my mind around all of that because that's a lot. That's three chapters in one fell swoop, which is a record for Safe Haven Church. Good job. One chapter left, but I've tried to wrap my mind around it, and the only thing I could think of, Solomon, it's just Oreos. I know that's a weird transition. I think of Oreos. There is a wrong way to eat an Oreo, and there is my way to eat an Oreo, which is the right way. I'm going to give you the steps, so if you haven't taken notes all day long, this would be a good time to take a few notes. I'm going to learn how to eat Oreos here. Number one, step one, you want to buy the Oreo thins. Amen. Hey, yes, we go. Hallelujah. Yeah. You want to buy the Oreo thins, step number one. Number two, any remaining icing, you want to scrape off. You want to go ahead and get that out of there, break the Oreo, get that remaining icing off, chuck it in the trash. That's what you're going to want to do with that. Step number three, you're going to want to take, I know some of you are like, heresy. I'm just telling you, thus saith the Lord-ish. You want to then take your chocolate and you want to dunk that in the milk for 7 seconds. Any more gets too soggy. Any less doesn't get the mush going on. 7 seconds. And then step number four, you just want to put that in your mouth and just enjoy the artificial cocoa. You just want to let it savor for a second before you swallow that thing, all right? You just want to contemplate it. And I say that just to say, I think that's kind of what Solomon's saying. He said, you can take life and you can just grab it and you can just kind of down it and not appreciate it and whatever. And he says, but if you want to be satisfied in life, it's going to take a little effort. It's going to take a little pausing. It's going to take contemplating. It's going to take what are these things that I'm thinking about, and it's going to look like this. It's going to look like, number one, am I seeking Christ? Am I seeking Christ? That's where wisdom is found. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says that Christ is the wisdom and power of God. If you're seeking anything else, you won't find wisdom and you won't find satisfaction. Are you seeking Christ? Number two, are you surrounding yourself with people who are seeking Christ? You become like those who you surround yourself with. Are you seeking other people who are seeking Christ-like wisdom? Number three, are you saturating your mind with scriptures? That's where wisdom is found. Are you reading the scriptures daily? Are you trying to memorize the scripture? Are you journaling? Look, I'm telling y'all, the best thing that ever happened to me was when I started journaling scripture in sermons. Because you're forced to think on your own, not just what this babbling idiot up here is saying. You're forced to wrestle with the text and just journal. Are you soaking in your mind? That's where wisdom is found. Are you sacrificing out of conviction and not reaction? In other words, are you saying no to things on purpose so that you'll be mastered by nothing? Are you intentionally denying yourself of certain things on purpose? And are you saying yes to giving to others, giving to gospel ministry, giving to things of the Lord, storing up treasures in heaven? Are you focused there? That's where wisdom is. Number five, are you setting reminders to be thoughtful? That's where wisdom can be. Do you set reminders? I'm telling y'all, I've told y'all this before, sticky notes are the greatest invention this world has ever seen, other than thin Oreos. Sticky notes are awesome. Stick them everywhere. Are you reminding yourself? Or things like this, little phrases. Hey, Troy, reconsider your past consequences. It's a great reminder to think on every day. Am I reconsidering past consequences so I don't make the same mistakes? Or things like this. We still have some of these, I think, back there by Jeremy in the jars. Things like this. Inhale gratitude and exhale thanksgiving. Little reminders. Am I being thankful all day long? Or this, some of us need to put down on our sticky note, think before you speak. And you can give one of those to your spouse if you'd like. And we'll have you in counseling afterwards. But we got room for that. Just little reminders. That's a way to seek wisdom. Or this, a little note reminding you, plan to be flexible. Just reminding you that life needs flexibility. Are you just having little things? And then finally, how to seek wisdom, pray. Pray. After all, what does James say? If anyone lacks wisdom, what does it say, Mike? Ask for it. Ask for it. And God who gives generously will give to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. The words of Solomon. Let's pray together. Well, Lord, Ecclesiastes has been so good to us. So practical, so timely every week. As the teaching team was praying this morning, just how in the middle of summer, when I know for me, my worldly cravings come to life. Just a reminder that everything under the sun will never satisfy. Because it's all fleeting. It's all here today, gone tomorrow. The The shoes get dirty. The car floor mats get nasty. The house finally falls in. The years spent in the gym come to a crash. All of it fleeting. So, Lord, I pray over our church as we get close to wrapping up this book. Will you make us wise people? Give the people of Safe Haven Church supernatural wisdom, Lord, that we'll expect the unexpected, that we'll seek wisdom in you above all things, that we'll choose what's right according to Scripture over just what we want, and that we will, in the end, savor life's sweetness. You're good to us, Lord. Give us eyes to see you when we're prone to be blind.